So that's my job, is to do a little bit of training for that, okay? That's for tonight. Okay. So, okay. Our purpose is not evangelism. Okay? That is not our purpose. God did not create you to evangelize. He created you to know Him, for Him to know you. And He created you so that you would give Him glory. So, this is not our purpose, but evangelism is our mission. It is our mission. All right? And, you know, companies have mission statements and all that kind of stuff. All right, so our mission is to be used by God to win souls. 1 Corinthians 5:17-20 says, He has made us ministers of reconciliation. God is making His appeal through us. All right? He says He's given us the message of reconciliation. He calls us ambassadors for Christ. Every single one of us is an ambassador for Christ. Amen. Every single one of us is involved in helping other people come to Christ. Romans 15:14-16, where He says, helping the Gentiles to be saved. That is our priestly duty. Priests have the role, the job, of mediating between people and God. Right? But we Christians, we don't need a mediator between us and God. Because we already have one. And who is that? Jesus. So we don't have priests for each other. But we're all priests. And priests intercede between humans and God. So our priestly duty is intercede for those who are not yet Christians. We can pray for each other, but that's not priestly work. That's just brother-sister work. All right, so those are a couple of passages. I could have turned to them, but I see Flo's taking notes, and that's good. So she's going to, and I see Michael taking notes. Plus, this outline is at the website. It's at my website. It's at the church website. I don't know if you knew this, but every lesson that I ever do, notes, PowerPoint, and audio are all posted at our website. And even if you don't want to go there, you don't have to. You can send your friends there. Okay? So that's kind of the introduction. That's the biblical introduction to the idea that this is something we do. Okay? Now, we have two Bible study series, both of which are posted at our website. There's the one that we primarily do, which is the one that most of you did. By the way, why is Andres not here tonight? Do you know? Just tired. Okay. He's been working at 4 o'clock in the morning. Okay. But so has Michael. And Michael's 30 years older. But you know what? We're going to give Andres some grace tonight. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. We're going to give Andres lots of grace. Okay. Yeah. It's tough. All right. But anyway, Andres did the Jesus study. All right. Which is at the website. And I'll show you how to get there. Okay. The gospel of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the death and resurrection of Jesus. The promise of Jesus, the response to Jesus, the lordship of Jesus. It's quite a bit different. All right. And this study series is geared towards using Acts chapter 2 as the outline for the entire study series, which kind of makes sense since that's the study that the 3,000 went through on that day. So it must have all the essential things in there. But it's a much trimmed down study series. But it also has sort of apologetics things about prophecy and about miracles. And I'll explain who we're going to do the Jesus study series with. By the way, I'm not planning on going through that series. For this thing, I'm going to train you on the one that we do with the majority of people. I'll explain why we have two and all that sort of stuff. Now, if you say, well, I don't have one of these things. Well, new Christians get these things for free.
Let's go.
All right? Kevin has one, right? Malero should have one. Okay, got it? Flo should have one. All right, Jan hasn't been in the habit of giving it, but all right, new Christians get it. All right, other people, $5. But the fact is, they're right at our website. By the way, when I'm studying with people, I tell them, there's no secret thing going on here. Go to our website. All the studies are right there. So there's no hidden agenda. There's no like, you know, we're not going to, you know, we're trying to sneak something on you and nothing like that. So, for example, what I could do if I wanted to is I could, oh rats, I could go to the website right now if I could get my cursor to work. Curse my cursor.
He's wearing a do-rag.
I can't see it. Oh, you guys can see it? That's funny. You guys can see it, but I can't. Okay. All right, look, look. Okay.
Try pressing like Alt-Tab.
Yeah, no, I have to do this. Uh-oh. Okay, problem solved. Oh, well. That's weird. So why does the PowerPoint come up then? It doesn't. There it comes.
Yay.
All right, now let's see if we get lucky. There it is. Yay. Okay. All I could have just told you. This is a waste of time. But okay. So here we go. All right, there we go. Resources. Okay. Bible studies. By the way, here's where all the sermons are. Have you all been to our website yet?
Yeah, I go like every other day, bro.
Really? All right. Sermons.
Like, take the audio clips you make and then like cut out everything.
All right. Here's all the sermons. All right. Oh, there's a lot of sermons there. Oh my. Well, there's a lot of sermons. Okay. And then we go to the classes. And if you go to the classes, this is a class. So this is in the classes section. And you can see the classes that have been taught here are said. Oh my goodness gracious. But then if you go back, if you go to the Bible studies, there you'll find them, and here they are. All right. Da-da-da. And by the way, the Jesus Study Series is there, but then if you go back, there's the Jesus Study Series. You can download it, okay? So, and if you want, it's up to you. I'm not saying you should tell people to go there, but if you want the people you're studying with to have access to the study series, just tell them. Like I said, there's no secret, there's no hidden thing going on here, no hidden agenda. All right, great. So, let's keep going. All right, good. So, but I don't have the Bible study series. Oh, yes, you do. Everybody does. Everybody in the world does that wants to. Okay, got it? All right, so, now the first thing in order to have a Bible study with somebody is to ask them to study. So what did I say to Michael as you were heading out the door last night?
Set up a study with Juan.
Right, set up a study with Juan. Why did I do that?
Because we love Juan.
Because we weren't studying with him yet. And he's come a couple of times.
Yes.
So set up a study with him.
Amen.
Okay?
Yes.
And in fact, you know, you can ask anybody you want if they want to study the Bible. And one of the things you can do when you're sharing on campus, you can ask somebody, do you want to just do a personal Bible study? If they say yes, set up a study with them.
Amen.
And then say, great. Well, when can we study? They say, I don't know, next week. Like what day? Wednesday. All right, what time? 3 o'clock. Got it.
Nice.
Okay. Tie people down. All right. Tie people down. Ask them to study. And then bring a friend. There's no rule or law that says you can't do it. We used to call them one-on-one studies, but they're almost never one-on-one studies, so we don't call them that anymore. I just call it a Bible study. I would say, as a general rule, do the study with somebody else there. Okay, I do that for a number of reasons. One is for the training, and two is because they can sort of help. You know, when the person's stuck, I can say, hey, you know, ask them to comment, rather than me answering my own question. If the person's stuck, I'll ask, you know, Zane to answer the question. The third reason is to take notes for them. Fourth reason is because we're trying to build some friendships, okay?
Yeah.
So this is, rule number one is a rule. All right, ask people to study.
That's a rule.
Okay?
Nice.
Just kidding, but not really kidding.
You get to.
Rule number two, it's not really a rule, it's just a general rule of thumb. Jan occasionally does studies with only her there, usually just because you can't get somebody to come. Don't cancel the study because nobody else will come. Don't do that. Be willing to move it. In other words, you can change the time, but don't cancel. Don't ever cancel a study, with maybe your exceptions, just because you can't get somebody to be there. All right, good. All right, and then the first thing we do when we study with somebody, and I want to be very, very purposeful with this, right? Listen carefully to these instructions. Whether we do the Jesus series or the other series, when we start, we do what we call a spiritual timeline with that person, okay? We do that generally by sharing our story and then asking them to share their story. Now, I've heard Zane's story about 14 times. It's so boring to me. In fact, what I could do is I could just share his story, to be honest with you, and he could share my story, and they probably would figure it out since I said, yeah, and I was baptized 44 years ago. But, all right. So, but that's just to kind of help them out. You know what I'm saying? Just one of you could share your story, both, whatever. And then they're going to share their story. And this is certain definite things you want to get out of this. All right, so at some point you want to ask this person, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God or is inspired by God? Okay? If they say yes, and you get the sense that they are super, super solid on this, like they have no question about it at all, you might even do a trimmed down word study, possibly. Generally not, but sometimes. And then you could ask them, well, why do you believe it's inspired by God? If they have no answer to that, you could maybe hold off. But if they have no answer to even why they might believe it's inspired by God, then you're probably going to want to do the word study, okay? All right, good. Then ask, do you think you're a Christian? Now, what are they going to say?
Yes.
By the way, one out of five will either say no or I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Maybe one out of ten. All right? That's okay. And then ask them, and just the direct question. By the way, what you're going to do is, when you're sharing your story, you're going to tell them, you know, who shared with you or something like that, and the date you got baptized and where you were and stuff like that, because you're kind of setting them up for that. So ask, when and how were you forgiven of your sins? Don't ask when and how did you become a Christian, okay? Because Christian is not very well defined, right? Christian, what's that mean? So ask them when and how were you forgiven of sins, or perhaps when and how were you saved? Okay, got it? And then ask them, well, tell me about that. All right, you know, what was the situation? What had gone on before that? And now they're already telling you their story, so you're going to sort of know that. So what you want to do is you want to find out if a person, when they're baptized, if they had been baptized, their age. Okay? And by the way, don't ask them, when were you baptized? Ask them, when were you forgiven of your sins? Or perhaps, when were you saved? Okay? Of that 80 to 90% who say they're a Christian, the vast majority of them will have a different date that they were saved than the date they were baptized. Got it? So, I would write it down. I just write it down. Okay? Because later on when you're studying with them, when you come to the salvation study, a lot of times what people do is they sort of retrofit what happened to them to fit the things you've been studying. Okay? And by the way, hey, if that's what they do, if that's what, you know, hey, whether somebody's saved or not, that's between them and God. Okay? And so if somebody's going to sort of manipulate kind of their situation to make it, because they, you know, the honest truth is most people who are not saved who say they're Christians are not super open to the idea that they're not saved.
Yeah.
There are exceptions. There are some humble people, like Kevin. Kevin, he honestly thought he was saved when we met him, but he was very, very humble and open. And he was not make, he was, hey, you help, you teach me. That's why he's here today.
Amen.
Woo! Okay, got it?
Got it. Yeah.
But, our job is to help people go to heaven. And if there's any doubt about if they've done what the Bible says to do in order to be saved, we want to help people to realize that. All right, so fairly typically somebody will say, yeah, I became a Christian when I was 13. What was the situation? I was at teen camp and, you know, and they we said, you know, so what happened? Tell me. They'll say we had a prayer or I felt this thing. All right, and then after they've told you when they got saved, then ask them, well, gee, have you been baptized? Is that on the list?
No.
No, okay, add that to the list. Have you been baptized? Okay. And then maybe say, why were you baptized? If you were saved, you know, when you're 15, why were you baptized when you're such and such? Okay, got it? Now, this could, in a way, it could possibly feel like we're setting people up. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It could. Being honest, it could feel that way. So make sure that's not what you're doing. Make absolutely sure in your heart that's not what you're doing. What you're trying to do is you're trying to make sure that they're saved. Okay? Okay, got it? Any questions about that before I go on to the next point? I would ask them first when you were saved or when you were forgiven of your sins. And let them answer the question and just ask it, probe a little bit. What was the situation? How old were you? And that kind of stuff. What was your frame of mind at the time? Kind of, you know, getting at, maybe not necessarily ask them if they'd repented at that time. Let them speak for themselves. Okay. Then after they've answered that question, then you could ask, well, had you repented at that time? And when were you baptized? Things like that. Okay? So anyway, the purpose of this is so that if there's any reasonable question about whether they're saved, we want to help them out with that. In my experience after studying with literally hundreds of people is they tend to sort of retroactively sort of change what happened. All right? And again, if they do that, that's between them and God. That's between them and God. But I want to protect people's highest likelihood of being saved. All right. So we do a thing called a timeline. First time you study with them. Okay. Now, if you're, like a new Christian, you fairly likely you'll not be the one doing this, but maybe you will be. Why not? Why can't Malero do a study with some friend? Why not? No reason he can't. Okay, now, two possibilities. All right, and if you need some help with this, let me know. Is the person, you know, fairly religious? Do they, for example, think they're saved already? Do they, at least theoretically, believe the Bible is from God, inspired by God? That's going to be 70-80% of the people we meet that want to study, okay? So for them, we're going to do this study series that I'm going to start going over tonight. But for the others, like Andres, who knew almost nothing of the Bible, he probably would have said, I guess it's inspired. I don't even know what that means. Are you a Christian? He's there, well, I don't know. I was baptized in the Catholic Church when I was a baby. I don't know. All right? For that person, that's the second group. Person has almost no or only a very limited background in Christianity. He or she is not even completely sure they believe Jesus, the Son of God, which was the case with Andres when we studied, by the way. Or they're not even really, you know, they're not, I guess, maybe, what's that mean, inspired by God? For that person, we're going to do the Jesus study series. Because honestly, the Bible study series we do most often, it actually assumes, on some level, that they know a fair amount about Christianity. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be true on campus with about 50% of the students. Now, if the ones that are willing to study, it's going to be true of 70 or 80%. You got it? So please be willing to do the Jesus study series. Good. So person number one, we do a series of Bible studies, correct? I do seeking God sometimes, but not that often. Simply because if they're person number one, they certainly claim to be seeking God. Jan does seeking God, I would say, over half the time, correct? All right. Hey, that's two different philosophies in the same church. You know, if you're doing a study with somebody, you know, maybe get advice. It's always good to get advice. But feel free to either do or not do the seeking God study. For Jan, I think it's just a chance to just get started and even encourage them to start having quiet times. It's an opportunity for that, right, Jan? I don't usually do it, but Jan often usually does. Amen. Question.
When would you say it's a great idea to do seeking God?
Ask Jan.
Jan, when would you say it's a great idea? When you look at this person, what kind of person are you looking at? You're like, oh yeah, they need to do seeking God.
Well, I think if they don't know anything about God or know anything about the Bible or aren't religious at all, I think it's a good place to start.
Okay, but that would mean you're going to be doing the Jesus study series with them typically. But anyway, Jan tends to do it generally, but that's her answer to your question. That's the person she definitely would do that study with. Okay? Anyway, there's some, you know, wiggle room. There's some wiggle room here. The word study is not part of the Jesus study series. Okay? But I do some like, I do most of the word study series with them in any case, okay? But I might do it after the first study if you see the Jesus study series, okay? Got it? The word study, it's not absolutely required to do a word study with everybody. There are some people who are totally solid on the Bible being the Word of God, and it's clear that they are, and they're very knowledgeable in the Bible already. I don't think we have to do a word study with everybody. I'd say I do that, I don't know, 3/4 of the time. Jan, probably 100%, I would guess, right? Yeah, okay, good. I would say for a newbie, don't ever skip it. For a newbie, for you all out there, just always do the word study, okay? Then the discipleship study. Now, logically, by the way, you'd want somebody to know who Jesus is and to be convicted about the cross before you call them to discipleship, normally. So logically, the discipleship study is in the wrong place in this order. But here's the thing. After many, many years, we've learned that bottom line is this works. So theologically, I think the discipleship study series belongs later. But I'm telling you, this works. And if this works, I'm going to keep doing it, all right? Because in the discipleship study, for those who have been quite religious but never been a disciple, it just gets them thinking. So that when they do the light and darkness, they do the cross study, they're more prepared to consider the implications. Okay? Monica, I think, wanted to make a comment. No? You looked like you wanted to make a comment. Okay, no, she looked like she was going to make a comment. She's not, okay. Do you want to make a point or ask a question?
Oh, no, I was curious about why the discipleship study is that.
It's because it works. Uh-huh. Experience says that doing the Bible study series in this order, by the way, I switched this around. I'm going to show you another alternative order. Okay, got it? Okay, got it?
Yeah.
All right.
Right,
because they're religious, right? China.
Yeah.
And when in the Jesus series, the equivalent of the discipleship study is at the end.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is there like a big, when they have this study, so they realize, oh, well, I'm not a disciple, I just thought I was.
All right, the purpose of that study is not to prove they're not a disciple, okay? That is not the purpose of the study. And don't you dare go in doing that. But the purpose of the study is to challenge people to consider whether, in fact, they are already disciples, and if not, to be one.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the reason it works.
Yeah.
Okay? Jan, please comment. No? I guess Jan's just saying she agrees with that. Okay? So this is not set in concrete, folks. not set in concrete. All right. All this stuff is things that people should be aware of before they get baptized. Mm-hmm. Well, the seeing God study, maybe not necessarily, but that the Bible is inspired by God, absolutely. Even if you don't do that study, it's absolutely essential. All of it's essential, I would say. So, got it? And then light and darkness, that's the traditional order, and then the cross. Okay? Then a salvation study, sound doctrine study, the church, and then we count the cost. Okay? An alternative order. I'd say, folks, let's keep it simple, all right? There you go. Just learn this and do this. It's the order in the book. It's great. Okay? But you know what? If you've been around for a while, if you studied with Jan, if you had this thing and what she actually did, it's significantly different. Jan brings in extra scriptures. I do all the time. I'm sure Michael does. Okay? And that's great. Because the bottom line is our job is to help them to get it. All right? And so this is, we give you this, it makes it simple.
Amen.
All right? And that's a good thing. If we're going to have young Christians helping people to become Christians, we need to give them something to work off of. By the way, when I was baptized, we didn't have a study series. And it's funny because everybody in the campus ministry, pretty much, you know, you got those, my Bible study series is back here. And everybody kind of had something like that. Not everybody, it seemed like everybody did. And then we'd compare. What do you do when you do baptism? Oh, okay, yeah, oh, cool, yeah. All right, but, you know, it's better to have something set in stone, so we do. But it's not set in stone. That's my point. Okay, good. An alternative order is to do the word study and then the cross, which logically would come before the light and darkness study. This is the logical order. Now, this is the order that we found works really well. Amen. Praise the Lord. Especially with highly religious people. This is the logical order that I believe makes more sense, even if you use Acts chapter 2 as your outline. Okay. Got it? There you go. All right. Person number 2. The goal is to help them come to have faith in Jesus first. That's why we call it the Jesus study. There, we don't generally do the seeking God study, but why not? It's there. It's this extra stuff. The word study is also optional, but if you skip it, well, you better make sure at some point you talk about those scriptures. Then we have those studies that I'm just going to skip for now. All right, so let's go through seeking God and the Word of God. I hope to complete those studies tonight. And then 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to go over the discipleship study, and at least we'll see how far we can get. Okay, got it? That's what we have so far. I have not been looking at my notes. Am I skipping anything? Ask questions. Oh, yeah, throughout this Bible studies, when you're studying the Bible with people, don't just read the scripture and tell them what it says. Very, very bad idea. Very, very bad idea. We teach by reading the scriptures and then asking questions. And don't ask questions like, where does it say that Jesus is? You know, ask questions that are probing whether they're really getting what the scripture is saying. Yeah.
Good soil, basically. And I remember they asked me about what I thought each part was.
Yeah.
What I thought it meant. And that built my faith because then they can guide my thinking and they could work with what I already come with. And so I think it's very important that we ask some questions that are
right.
Deepening their ideas.
Right. And also, when you ask questions, the question relates to the scripture you read. And often they'll give an answer that has absolutely nothing to do with the scripture read. It's just what their preacher said. Don't correct them. Don't get on their case. But just say, okay, great. But I'm saying, what does the scripture say? So we're training them to understand that we're using the scripture. And also, hopefully they'll remember, oh, that's what we did. We read the scripture. Okay, let me see. I'm just seeing if I'm skipping any things here that I need to mention here. Okay. All right, yeah. Actually, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. It says, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. So I say, Keith planted, Katie watered, and God gave the increase. So who shares with them? That's the one who planted. And who studies the Bible with them? That's the one that's watering. Either way, doesn't matter. Paul's saying, it doesn't matter. Apollos, Cephas, me, whoever, doesn't matter. It's all about God. So you have to understand that God is the one that's causing the increase. Okay, the seeking God study. And with each one of these studies, I'm going to begin by telling you the purpose of the study. You need to remember the purpose of the study. Because that when you're done with that study, you need to ask yourself, was the purpose of the study accomplished by doing the study? If it wasn't, then what you might need to do is go back and do that study again. All right? Jan does not hesitate to do a study again. She's the master Bible study person. She's better at this than I am. I'm not just saying that to make her feel happy. It's true. Okay, this is her specialty. All right, so the purpose is to get the person excited about and importantly committed to studying the Bible. So the purpose is to set up the very idea of what you're doing. Right? So the purpose is to get them excited about and committed to studying the Bible with you, but also to studying the Bible. Oh, sometimes it feels like we're pulling teeth to get people to simply read the stinking Bible. It's crazy. All right? But be patient. Be stubborn. At some point, even refuse to go on in the series. Absolutely. But also be patient. What can I say? So the first scripture we go over, and there it is in the Bible study series. All right? Jeremiah 29:11-14. All right, again, what we're training to do is read the scripture and then start asking questions. Okay? And I think probably everybody in this room knows this passage. By the way, if you want to give them the context, the fact that this blessing didn't come for 7 years, you might want to do that, but probably not. You're just proving how smart you are, and you know, just go ahead and take this verse out of context. Yeah. It's okay to take this scripture out of context, okay? As a teacher, I tend to not want to do that, but all right, anyway. Jeremiah 24:11-14, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. Then you'll call on me, come and pray to me, I'll listen to you. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. All right, et cetera. According to. So what does God have in mind for you according to this passage? All right, and ask them. All right, what does God have in mind for you according to this passage? The answer is, let me see, to prosper me and not to harm me, to give me a hope in the future, okay? So how do you feel about that? All right? So, you know, make sure they're understanding that's what we're talking about. God is trying to bless your life in great ways. And at this point, you could even share. I could just think of some ways that God, this is exactly what's happened to me. Okay, got it? And then ask them, don't tell them, ask them, according to this passage, what's required on your part in order for this to happen? And what's the answer? Seek God with all your heart. And then the next question, the obvious question, and I'll guarantee you, if you did this study with Jen, I guarantee you she asked this question. And even if she didn't have this outline in front of her, she asked, well, are you prepared to seek God with all your heart? And you know what? They almost always say yes. So Jen, what should you do at that point?
What does that mean? How would you do that?
Yeah, what are you going to do about that? Let's be specific. Okay, now, you're going to follow that up, but probably Jan will suggest, well, how about reading the Bible every day? For example, if somebody said, I'm seeking God with all my heart. And you ask them, well, do you read the Bible regularly? They say, no. What would you say to that person? You know?
Read the Bible.
All right. Jen says, I wouldn't do that because that sounds too harsh. So, but ask questions. All right. Got it? So, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So they may not see the direct alignment.
Yeah. Well, either way, later on in the study, you're going to challenge them to do that.
I think there's a question right at the bottom
yeah.
of the study.
Yeah.
How are you going to do
yeah. Yeah, you can take a very open-ended approach to this thing. Everybody's different. Okay, got it? But if they say they're going to seek God with all their heart, get them to commit to something. Okay? Got it? Okay, then Acts 17, 26 to 28. We know this one. You almost, if you've read Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14, you could practically skip Acts 17, 26 through 28, but don't do that, because otherwise this will be a super, super short study. By the way, you can do the, timeline thing and then this study easily in the time. And you can do the timeline study in the Word of God easily. Doing the timeline and discipleship in one study, that's a little bit of a challenge time-wise. So Acts 17, 26 to 28. You all know this one, right? It's the New Testament equivalent of Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. But that's okay, because we got an Old Testament and New Testament scripture. By the way, if they don't know what the Old Testament is and what the New Testament is, maybe you could tell them during the study, kind of introduce them to the Bible. All right, 26 through 28. It says here, from one man he made all nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history, the boundaries of the lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out to find him. Though he is not far from any of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your offspring, posts have said, we are his offspring. And you maybe even could give some of the background or the context here. Paul is in Athens. He's trying to explain Christianity to people who know nothing of the Bible. So he's trying to explain to them the God of the Bible is super, super different from the gods of the Greek myths, but also from the God of Epicureanism and Stoicism and all that Greek concept of God. God, to them, God is very, very distant and unknowable and ineffable and all that sort of stuff. But Paul's saying, no, God wants a relationship with us. All right, so at this point, you could ask a question. All right, you could ask a question. So can you think of anything that God has done to bring you to this point? All right, can you think of anything? And if they can't think of anything, you could share some stories in your life. How, you know, because of this and that, and it caused me to be open to studying the Bible. Okay, got it? And then it says here, all right, people reach out to him perhaps to find him. Okay, good. And then we go to Psalm 42, verse 1 through 4. And see, Monica made the point that some people, they want to seek God, but they don't even really get the whole Bible part of it. That's very possible. Often you're doing the seeking God study with somebody who knows almost nothing of the Bible. Okay? So Psalm 42 is intended to sort of focus them on what we're trying to get out of them. Because what are we trying to get them to do? What's the purpose of the study?
To get excited about reading the Bible.
Right. Getting them excited about two things, really. Number one, studying the Bible on their own and studying the Bible with you. Okay? Psalm 42. Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? All right? And so the question is, what does it mean to you? I'm sorry about that. How do you feel about the opportunity to meet with God? I mean, what's that even mean to you? What's it mean to have a relationship with God? And really, that relates back to the Acts 17 passage, right? So that men might search for him and find him if they search for him with all their heart, okay? What does it mean for you to seek? I'm sorry. How do you feel about this opportunity to meet with God? And what are you going to do this week to make that happen? This week. You're setting them up for a homework assignment. Okay? Nearly all, if not all of our studies end with a homework assignment. Because we need them to have some buy-in. If all they're doing is coming to have a study with you and then you go through the scripture, that's going to be ineffective. Okay, got it? So, if they can't think of what they're going to commit to do this week to make it happen, so you can suggest two things. What are those two things you might suggest?
Read and pray.
Right, start reading and praying. How often?
Every day.
And why not ask them to commit to a certain amount of time per day? How much time do you, if you're seeking God with all your heart, and if you're thirsting to meet God, I don't know, how much time do you think, you know, of reading and praying you'd want to do it in a day? Okay, got it? Good. And then Matthew 6:33. Very familiar passage to us. This, you could do this entire study in half an hour easily. Easily. I was going to make a comment about Jan couldn't do it in half an hour because, but she could. She could and she has.
But. Yeah.
All right. Well, to me, I mean, if you want to read the whole thing, that's fine. Okay. Okay. Again, there is some flexibility. Fairly often when I have people read these passages, I have them read one or two verses earlier, one or two later, trying to set the context. Especially for religious people, if you show them that you're trying to respect the context, they're going to more likely respect what you're doing here. Got it? So anyway, I would normally just do Matthew 6:33, but sure, 25 through 33 would be awesome. How awesome that would be. All right, but seek first his kingdom. One problem with the scripture is most people don't know what the kingdom of God even is. So that's so if you're going to use this scripture, be prepared to have to explain it a little bit. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. All right, so you could ask them this question. What do you think it means to seek the kingdom of God first? Okay, they may not know what the kingdom of God is, but the kingdom of God is a place where God rules as king. Basically, what this means, seek the lordship of Jesus in your life. Or seek the things of God or the will of God. So what does it mean to seek the kingdom first? What specific steps will you take to do this? This is very, very similar to what we're asking with the Psalm 42 passage. Okay? Now, does this study come with homework? I can't remember. Is it reading the book of John? All right. Okay. Assignment. Read Proverbs chapter 2. Well, that's a very easy assignment. Okay. And by the way, feel free to give a different assignment, but that's a super, super, super achievable assignment. I might have them start reading the book of John. Okay. Now, notice what it says, the last thing it says. What's it say right there? Next study. Date, time, and place. Always do this. Always. Always. Unless they say they don't want to study. Always do this. All right? If they say, I'll do it next week, say, well, how about in 3 days? Yes. Right. All right, but, you know, consider maybe not waiting for a whole week, perhaps. Some people, honestly, everybody's different. Some people going a little slower is actually better. All right? Other people going faster is better. There's no clear thing there. Okay, got it? All right. Now, let me set up the next study. Oops. No, it's not disciple. It's the word study. Okay. The word of God. Okay, now let me go through this pretty quickly. I want to end in about 8 minutes or so, but anyway. So the word of God, 2 Timothy 3:16, says all scripture is inspired by God, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So then you ask them, what do you think it means when it says all scripture is inspired by God? And very likely they're going to give a sort of a wonky answer. Then I'd have my partner who's also there. What do you think it means that all scripture is inspired by God? The last option is for you to answer your own question. All right? At some point, yeah, you can answer your own question. All right? And then ask the very simple question. Do you believe this? Do you believe that all scripture is inspired by God? They usually say yes, and then I ask them a simple question. Why do you believe this? Okay, so a lot of people believe the Bible is inspired by God because you're supposed to, or because I'm an American, or something like that. All right? And if they have absolutely no idea, then you might want to help them out. Say, well, the reason I believe the Bible is inspired by God is because it works. All right? Or you say, there you go. Or the reason I believe the Bible is inspired by God is because there is no contradictions. Or the reason I believe it's inspired by God is because of the prophecies that are fulfilled. Or because of the resurrection of Jesus. If Jesus is resurrected, etc. So get them thinking. Get them to at least consider seeking out evidence to support it rather than simply believing it because, I don't know, my parents believed it. Or, all right? Most people have no idea why they believe the Bible is inspired by God. But honestly, if all they believe is it's inspired by God, technically that's enough.
Amen.
Okay? Technically that's enough. Okay? But I just open that up. All right? And then it says what it's useful for, right? The point I want to make here, here's when you can make a point. What's it it's useful for? So this is the first time in this entire thing tonight where you're going to tell them. Mm-hmm. All right? You're going to ask them, basically, what this means is, I, as a Christian, have no authority to tell you what to do, person I'm studying with. But because of the scriptures, I have authority. In other words, I could tell you my opinion, but if you're doing something wrong, I have the Bible. See, here's what the Bible says, here's what you're doing. According to the Bible, what you're doing is wrong. See? So the Bible is the instrument used in correcting, rebuking, training, and all that kind of stuff. So that's that scripture. Do you want to add anything to that, Jen? Okay, great. Send 1 Peter 1:19. All right, very good. We'll finish up in 5 minutes, but this man gets up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and he is very appreciative. All right. 2 Peter? All right, 2 Peter. Basically, I'm not going to go over that now. Basically, what it's saying is, it's explaining, I'm not going to read it in other words, it's explaining what we mean by inspired. Basically, what does this passage say about scripture? Alright? It says that we have it more sure. What does it mean to you and for you and for me? In other words, it talks about how it's men spoke from God as they're carried along by the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13, you know that passage. Right? Scripture is sharp as double-edged sword, separates soul from spirit, joints from marrow, blah, blah, blah. So ask them this question. In what sense do you think it means that the Bible is living and active? What's that mean? All right? What is it active in doing? It's active in separating truth from lies, white from black, all right? Truth from falsehood. All right, those kinds of things. And are you willing to have the Bible expose your heart? Okay? So that's the purpose of the Bible. So the question is, are you prepared to let it do that? Okay, because the Bible is only living and active in those who are willing. So again, ask this question, what's it mean that it's living and active? What does it do? How does it do it? What does it separate between? Okay. John 8, 31 and 32. This comes up in this study and again in the discipleship study. It's kind of weird. Why did we do that? I don't know. Maybe somebody forgot. Well, you know what? We're making a different point in the two studies, all right? In this one, ask this question. They usually get it wrong. Who is he speaking to? And they'll say, to the Jews. Okay, what Jews? The Jews who believed in him. All right? So these people are believers, right? What percentage of Americans are believers? Well, I don't know. 70%, something like that? Great. And then ask the question, is belief sufficient to be a disciple of Jesus? It says it right there, right? It says, yep. So what is required? Holding to their teaching, right? And then ask the obvious question, are you prepared to hold to that teaching? What's that mean? What does it mean to hold to his teaching? It means to read it? No, it means to obey it. Okay, got it? All right, Matthew 15, 1 through 9, the point you want to make here, some people are very, very tied into the religion, especially people with a Catholic background. For somebody for a Catholic background, this scripture is very important. All right, and so there's two kinds of things that God doesn't like, and that is teaching our tradition as if it were doctrine and practicing traditions that cause us to not obey the Bible. Those are the two different things. So what can make our worship worthless? It is teaching as doctrine human traditions. Okay? Can you commit that you will put the Word of God ahead of the traditions you have learned? All right. Now, people almost always say yes, but you might want to mention a couple of traditions at this point. What are some traditions? So maybe you could give an example. There's two kinds of traditions. One is a tradition that's taught as if it was from the Bible. All right. You can mention a tradition that you were taught that you now know is not in the Bible, but it was taught as if it was. And then you could give an example of a tradition which, if obeyed, could cause you to not obey the Bible, such as praying Jesus into your heart is one of that. Got it? All right, I think I've used up my time. 1 Timothy 4:16, life and doctrine. All right, both important. Which is harder to do, have the right doctrine or have the right life? No, having the right doctrine is much easier than having the right life, much easier. But tonight, we're talking about doctrine. That's what we're talking about tonight. Okay, John 12:48. Acts 17 about the Bereans. They didn't just believe what they heard, but they actually read the Bible and put it into practice. Okay? So here's our challenge. Here's our challenge. And should we do this in groups of three? Yeah, let's do this in groups of three. Write down and share with your group the names of somewhere between 3 and 5 people you're going to ask to study the Bible with you. Then pray about it as a group. Okay? So let's get in groups. And by the way, if you're like sort of a beginning sort of guest person here, you know, don't feel like you have to necessarily do this. But hey, I'm just throwing it out there, okay? Excellent. Questions, comments? Yeah, Kevin planted, Katie watered, but God gave the increase, right?